Thank you. I'd like to begin this sermon this morning by going to Matthew, the 23rd chapter. And if you'd like, go with me. Matthew 23. And I'd like to use one verse. One verse that Christ himself spoke. And as he did, he demonstrated that same love that we just were talking about. The love of his children. Matthew 23:37 says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how oft would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. And it always tears at my heart just a little bit to know that it's us that would not. He has extended his hand, and in Isaiah it says that his hand is never shortened. But he has extended his hand to all his children. But in cases after cases after cases, it's the children that would not reach out and take of that hand. And that's what I want to visit with you about this morning, is the fact that God has extended to us such a precious inheritance. And oftentimes it is us who refuse that inheritance. The inheritance that I'm talking about, of course, is this land. A couple, 3 weeks ago, we celebrated July 4th, the birthday of our nation. And I'm sure that 99.99.99% of us stopped and considered how fortunate we are that we have the, quote, men on the walls to protect our nation. Because, as it was said in Sunday school, this is a blessed nation. And God, in fact, endowed this nation to be an inheritance, a precious inheritance. But in some occasions, and those occasions we see today, we choose not to recognize that. Your son is in supply. Am I right? But I've been there, and our nation couldn't work without those fundamental portions. He's a Marine. I was a Marine, and I know that the first thing that you're taught is that as a Marine, you're always a ground pounder. You're always ready to take up your rifle and defend. And I'm sure I'm sure as a Marine, I would like to explain to you that that's very unique to the Marine Corps, but it's not. It's shared by the Army, the Navy, and the Air Force. The point that I'm making is they all function. The Air Force has their function. The Marines have their function. The Army has theirs. The supply folks, as compared to the administrative folks like myself, we all had a function that served the ultimate goal of protecting this nation. Christ looked out, and I think the picture has prejudiced my thinking in a good way. When I see the picture of Christ sitting upon the hill and looking out over a lit city, and I'm assuming that that's Jerusalem, and then that scripture is underneath of it, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how oft would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. You can't stop. I mean, at least I can't. I can't stop at the and. I can't stop at the comma. Because the awareness that the option is upon and for and by each one of us. So a couple of weeks ago when we were celebrating the birthday, 236 years I think it is, something like that, the importance of that birthday is pretty well dependent upon how we look at our nation. Boy, you look around, you got a bunch of drug heads. You got a bunch of people that are robbing each other. You got a bunch of people that are killing each other. Go out to Phoenix. Every one of us have precious cargo in Phoenix. We have our daughter and son-in-law and grandchildren. We have loved ones in the church that are out there. Has the highest kidnapping and murder rate in the United States. That's hideous. It also has some of the highest snowbirds that go out and live in that area in the summertime. Has the highest number of illegal aliens out in that part of the country. Now, if you talk to Don McAdoo about illegal aliens, he will tend to justify their coming up here because of what they have to live down in Mexico. You look at somebody like me from the flatlands here in the Midwest, and I say, you know, they ought to stay back there where they belong. I mean, a few is okay. I mean, if they do it correctly, you know, it's if they get their paperwork, who's right? God's not a respecter of persons. This land is a land of inheritance. The land where they're from, down in Mexico, that was Joseph's land. That was given by Jacob, Israel, to the heirs. You know, when you look at the heirs, you got some that said, yeah, boy, this is a good thing. You got some that said, man, we don't want to go there. Gosh, why do I have to leave what I've... Well, let me show you. Let's go over to page 4 in the Book of Mormon. Page 4 in the Book of Mormon. Now, this is going to be kind of a long reading. This is going to be about 11 verses, but try to stay with me. I'm going to start at the 18th verse. Wouldn't you know it, and I gave you the wrong page. It's on page 3 instead of page 4. I'm going to start on page 3, the Book of Mormon, the 18th verse. Therefore I would that ye should know that after the Lord hath shown so many marvelous things unto my father Lehi. Now they're back, still back in Jerusalem, old Jerusalem. Yea, concerning the destruction of Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets. Behold, he went forth among the people and began to prophesy and to declare unto them concerning the things which he hath both seen and heard. And it came to pass that the Jews did mock him because of the things which he testified of. He truly testified of their wickedness and their abomination. Nobody likes to be told about, you know, how inadequate I am or how unworthy I am or how wrong I might be. Whether I'm in a political setting about the illegal aliens, or an increase in taxes, or whether I'm sitting up at the conference, and someone tells me, "Oh, you don't know what you're talking about. That scripture doesn't deal that way. God doesn't deal with us that way. That's not what that means." It doesn't matter the circumstance. My pride, my ego, my embarrassments, they're going to be imposed upon. So right away, I'm ready to fight. You know, I'm ready to show my Christian strength. Right? Here's a prophet of God. A prophet of God who was visited at night, it says, by God, by one of God's servants. And he testified that the things which he saw and heard and also the things which he read in the book manifested plainly. Well, you know, one of the things he testified was to the homosexuality in that area. Wasn't right. Now you can wonder if it's right, but it's politically correct to allow it to be considered a way of life. So we have really matured, right? We've really matured to this degree where we can embrace sin because of what? It's politically correct. But your son still stands on the wall to protect this nation. Just as the ministry, just as the servants and the people of God stand up just like Lehi did and keep their testimony pure. And when the Jews heard these things, they were angry with him, yea, even as with the prophets of old. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, and he was still willing to love them and protect them and to give them a way out, even after they had done all these great sins. With the prophets of old, whom they had cast out and stoned and slain. And they also sought his life, that they might take it away. But behold, I, Nephi, will show unto you that the tender mercies of the Lord are over all them who he hath chosen, because of their faith to make them mighty, even unto the power of deliverance. For behold, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto my father, yea, even in a dream, and saith unto him, Blessed art thou, Lehi, because of the things which thou hast done. I wonder what it is he's talking about that he did. Oh, he went out up here and testified to the wickedness. He was strong enough to stand up against those things that were wrong. He was strong enough to have faith in the conviction and the assurance that the Word of God, well, just like your son standing on that wall. And because thou hast been faithful and declared unto this people the things which I commanded thee, behold, they seek to take away thy life. And it came to pass that the Lord commanded my father, even in a dream, that he should take his family and depart into the wilderness. And it came to pass that he was obedient unto the word of the Lord. Wherefore he did as the Lord commanded him. And it came to pass that he departed into the wilderness. And he left his home and the land of his inheritance, and his gold, and his silver, and his precious things, and took nothing with him, save it were his family, and provisions, and tents. And he departed into the wilderness. Doesn't say that Lehi was a wealthy man, but it infers it. And his sons, Laman and Lemuel, they looked back. Many generations, we know as we look through the Book of Mormon, we see many generations later, the Lamanites, they are bad-mouthing their brothers, the Nephites. Why? Because they stole their inheritance. Those dirty guys, they took what was ours. Let's see if they did. Let's go to page 6. Page 6, and we're going to use the 53rd and the 54th verse. And it came to pass that the Lord spake unto me, me being Nephi, saying, Blessed art thou, Nephi, because of thy faith. For thou hast sought me diligently with lowliness of heart. What is the lowliness of heart? It's the humility. What is humility? I think the best way to describe humility is the preference of someone else. In my way of thinking, to demonstrate humility is not to be thugs. But it's rather to do, to be, and to exist for the betterment of our God. That's humility. That's the bottom line. We can look in Webster's dictionary. We can go to the computer. We can get definitions all over the place. But the bottom line, the one that I think is the most important to us, is a willingness to put our choices behind and prefer to do as our God would show us. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that hast killed us prophets, how oft would I have gathered you together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. It's an indictment against all of us. It really is. You see, it's talking here about the Jerusalem, where? Over in the old country. But also there's a Jerusalem here in this country. And those of us that have the invitation to come to that Jerusalem, we are being guided and called out, even as the children of Israel were. When we are adopted, when we are baptized, we are adopted into the house of Israel. It says so in two or three different places in the Book of Mormon. I may be a Gentile. In fact, I was, I believe, a Gentile. It doesn't matter if I was or weren't. Bottom line was, I acted like one. And I was forgiven. And I was adopted into the house of Israel. And as such, and inasmuch as ye shall keep my commandments, ye shall prosper and shall be led to a land of promise. A land which I have prepared for you. Yea, a land which is choice above all other lands. Thank goodness Aaron is on that wall. And a whole bunch of guys like him. Thank goodness there was a Lehi who, though he would in the minds of his sons, shortchange his family, shortchange Laban, shortchange some of Laban's family. Thank God there was a Lehi and Nephi. There was a promised land. This land, we believe, was a promised land. This land, supposedly, if left to its own ability, can supply all the needs that mankind would have. What a blessing. Look at the old countries. You can see this land is a land of promise. You see, the point is, well, I'll let the scriptures talk about it. Let's go to page 671 of the Book of Mormon. 671. This is Alma. Nope, third book of Nephi, right there on top. Third Nephi 12. 3 and 4. And when they shall have received this, what is this? It's a pronoun. It's describing something. Which is expedient that they should have first to try their faith. And if it shall so be that they shall believe these things, then shall the greater things be made manifest unto them. If you have a little faith, you're going to receive something greater. And if it so be that they will not believe these things, then shall the greater things be withdrawn from them under their condemnation. Now, in this particular case, this is speaking about what? miracles, about blessings. Do we normally think of our land, the United States, as a miracle, as a blessing? No, but we ought to think about it as a miracle that we're fortunate enough to be a part of it. Do we have prejudices? Do we have bitterness, crime? Sure we do. We also have the means of something far greater available to us. The fourth verse. And if it so be that they will not believe these things, then shall the greater things be withheld from them unto their condemnation. Let me ask you, as I studied this out, I was wondering, could this also be talking about the Word of God? If we don't have a faith and a conviction in the Word of God, could it be taken from us? You bet it could. We could read these words daily, and unless we have the Spirit in our hearts, it will do us no good. Let's go to page 439. Page 439 is Alma 17. I'd like to use the 46th through the 49th verse. And now behold, I tell you by the Spirit of prophecy, that if ye transgress the commandments of God, behold, these things which are sacred shall be taken away from you by the power of God. And ye shall be delivered up unto Satan, that he may sift you as chaff before the wind. Hold your finger right there, because we're going to come back. Let's go over to page 776, I think it is. Page 776, let's read the 14th verse. Now keep in mind that verse we just read back there on page 439. And I would exhort you, my beloved brethren, that ye remember that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So that's telling me that when he made this declaration back here through his servant Alma, he's the same as he's making the declaration to us today. That ye remember, and that all these gifts of which I have spoken, which are spiritual, never will be done away, even as long as the world shall stand only according to the unbelief of the children of men. We read back here that Nephi recognized it and was given a promise of an inheritance. Why? Because of his faith. We read initially that Lehi was told to take his family away from the destruction to preservation. Why? Because of his faith. We read that if we don't use these gifts, these sacred gifts, we're going to lose these sacred gifts. Why? Because of a lack of belief. And that's what page 776 says to me. The only way these sacred gifts can be taken from us is if there is unbelief. Now then, let's look at that. If there is one soul, it says, right? Well, let's say we have a fellow standing over here, and he's Mr. ABC. And he loses faith. Has he lost the spiritual gifts? He's lost the hope. The hope. He's lost the hope of charity. He's lost the hope of forgiveness. He's lost the hope of his God's Spirit. Has he lost? You bet he's lost. just one little soul. Verse 47, back on 439. But if ye keep the commandments of God and do with these things which are sacred according to that which the Lord doth command you, for you must appeal unto the Lord for all things whatsoever ye must do with him. Behold, no power on earth or hell can take them from you, for God is powerful to the fulfilling of all his words. Let me ask you a question there. What can Satan do if you don't allow him into your life? Absolutely. Because what is the only power that Satan has? To deceive us. Why does God say that he will shorten the time? To save the very elect. Because of what Satan will do. Why? How is it that Satan causes us to sin? He doesn't. We do it because we choose to. Just like we choose to obey God. Just like Aaron chooses to be the man on the wall. Now that sounds kind of dramatic. Thank goodness. Thank goodness there are young men like him. Because there are also young men that could not fulfill that responsibility. Our son was one of them. Our youngest son went to the service. And he found out that he couldn't do it. He came home. They released him. And he's made a positive contribution as a result of it. I really believe that, adamantly. But I don't think Jason could have handled that way of life. Thank God Aaron could. Thank God I could. My older brother couldn't, Jim, the one that was a member of our church. He couldn't. He had as many days AWOL from the Army. Now, he went back and he served his time. Jim did not fulfill his commitment. But he had as many day AWOL because he could not handle that type of discipline. But he was honest with him. He went back and told him that. Broke my heart. He brought home a bunch of socks. They were all paired up. He and I had socks from, I guess that's not really germane, but I was so glad as a kid to have socks that really matched each other. He took them and went back to the service. Is my point coming across? You see, there is a gift that God chose to give Lehi and his sons, Laman, Lemuel, Sam, and Nephi. And it was this inheritance, if they were willing to obey and have faith. And Laban and Lemuel wasn't. Sam and Nephi were. Lehi was. But Sarah, what did she say when the Spirit told Lehi to go back and get the records? What have you done to my boys? It's kind of like my dad. My brother and I were milking one day in Adrian at the farm. And this cow kicked the milk stool out from underneath my brother. My brother's laying on his back underneath this cow. My dad walks in. He says, "What are you doing to my cows?" Well, it's all in the eyes of the beholder, but you know, you get the point. The point is, brothers and sisters, that the Word of God is specific. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And it has drawn straight down the course that we are to travel. And because of our inadequacies, what do we do? When we depend on our own ability, what do we do? Well, let's go to page 708, I think it is, in the Book of Mormon. Let's start over here on the 42nd verse. No, 41st verse. Yea, it shall come in a day when there shall be churches built up, that they shall say, come unto me, for your money you shall be forgiven of your sins. Well, when did that start? Has anybody got an idea? That was started in the apostasy. Back when people, somewhere around 500 or 600 AD, back when men became more intelligent than God and chose to do things their way rather than depending upon God, that was back in the apostasy. Come unto me, and for your money you shall be forgiven of your sins. O ye wicked and perverse and stiff-necked people, why have ye built up churches unto yourselves to get gain? Why have ye transfigured the holy word of God, that ye might bring damnation upon your souls? This is talking about a specific time. It's talking about the apostasy that's coming, right? Behold, look unto the revelations of God. For behold, the time cometh at that day when all these things must be fulfilled. And it was. There was a great apostasy. What happened? There was also a restoration. Not a reformation, but a restoration of God's word. Behold, the Lord has showed unto me great and marvelous things concerning that which must shortly come. At that day when these things shall come forth among you. Look down at the bottom, it says AD 400, 421. Just in the lip of the apostasy. Behold, I speak unto you as if, ye were present, and ye are not. So he's talking to a generation yet to come. But behold, Jesus Christ has shown you unto me, and I know your doings. And I know that ye do walk in the pride of your hearts. Oh, let's go, keep your finger there. Let's go to the Bible. Let's go to Revelation. 2nd chapter of Revelation. He's speaking to the churches, right? 2nd chapter of Revelation, starting with the first verse. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand. Now, if we go back to the first chapter of Revelation, we find that that person that they're talking about, the person that holds the seven stars in his right hand, is who? Jesus Christ. Who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. And who is that? Jesus Christ. I know thy works, and thy labors, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars. Think back to the history of the Church of Christ. You ever heard that happening? You bet we have. Happened very specifically. There was almost 10,000 people from the Church of Christ that migrated away and went following an apostle. And has borne and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. Do you know anyone like Alan prayed for during the after the Sunday school, that any of those servants that have gone on before us, that has served not for their own aggrandizement, but rather for the edification of God's body? Sure we do. One of those men, I think, was home-based right here. Skeet Yates. Definitely a servant and a warrior of God. Another one, I believe, Clarence Wheaton. A lot of others. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. What is that first love that we're given? Let me give you a hint. What would be the greatest commandment? That's right. To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy might, and with all thy strength. Thou hast left thy first love. Over here it says, but behold, Jesus Christ has shown unto me that I know your doing, and I know that ye do walk in the pride of your hearts. And when you walk in the pride of your hearts, are you walking in the love of God himself? No. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen. What is that saying? Where were you before you fell? You were in the arms of your God. And repent and do the first works. What is the first works? What is our first works as children of God? To love God. To get that love. That true love, not an emotion, not an action, but the true emotion, that true feeling of love, that God is everything to us. Or else I will come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds. Notice that? Hatest the deeds. Not the people. Not the Nicolaitans. But the deeds of them, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear. Now, when I read this Bible that Jenny just got me for my birthday, I think, right? So you see, my preaching is her fault. If you don't like it, fuss at Jenny. But anyway, it has the commentaries here, and it says the Nicolaitans were probably libertine antinomian sect who attempted to use Christian liberty as an excuse for self-indulgence and immorality. The promise to him that overcometh probably applies to all Christians with genuine faith. That's what Lehi had when Lehi accepted the word of God. That's what Nephi had when Nephi accepted what God had spoken to his father. That's what we have when we accept the responsibility of our inheritance, which is this promised land. This land that is choice above all others. Yeah, it's a land with problems, but it is a blessing. And folks, I propose in the scriptures in Alma and in 3 Nephi where it says if you don't use it, you're going to lose it. I believe that's true. I believe that Laban and Lemuel did not understand. They were so focused on the wealth of their father and the inheritance that he was walking away from and consequently depriving them of, that they did not understand that inheritance that was promised in 1 Nephi 5, in 1 Nephi 1. That same promise. That same gift, spiritual gift. Back to the Book of Mormon, 48th verse. And there are none, save a few only, which do not lift themselves up in the pride of their hearts unto the wearing of very fine apparel. Now, this is talking to a generation yet to come, I believe, according to what I've read. Unto envying and strifes and malice and persecutions and all manners of iniquity, and your churches, yea, even every one, have become polluted. Because of the pride of your hearts. For behold, ye do love money and your substance and your fine apparel and the adorning of your churches more than ye love the poor and the needy and the sick and the afflicted. O ye pollutions, ye hypocrites, ye teachers which sell yourself for that which will canker. Why have ye polluted the holy church of God? Why are ye ashamed to take upon you the name of Christ? Why do ye not think that greater is the value of an endless happiness than the misery which never dies because of the praise of the world? Go back to page 776. Seventeenth through nineteenth. And Christ truly said unto our fathers, if ye have faith, ye can do all things which are expedient unto me. Like, regain that first love that he talks about. The 18th verse. And now I speak unto all the ends of the earth, that if the day cometh that the power and gifts of God shall be done away among you, it shall be because of unbelief. And woe be unto the children of men if this be the case, for there shall be none that doeth good among you, no, not one. Back to page 709, 53rd verse. Why do ye not think that greater is the value of an endless happiness? What's that? What would be an endless happiness? Eternity. Yeah. Than the misery which never dies because of the praise of this world. Why do ye adorn yourselves with that which hath no life, and yet suffer the hungry and the needy and the naked and the sick and the afflicted to pass by you and notice them not? And I propose to you that he's talking as much about the gospel of Jesus Christ as he's talking about their food, physical food. He's talking about their robes being pure white, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, as he's talking about their suit and their attire. This nation is a promised land. This nation is a God promised Israel that he would bring them out of bondage. And he did, 400 and some years later, after they went down and Joseph fed his family. 400 and some years later, they were freed from bondage. But what happened? They started looking at the specifics. They even asked Moses, why did you bring us out? At least back there we had plenty of straw and food to eat. They saw the superficial things. Why did Laban and Lemuel and the Lamanites stumble over the problems of this nation, this great inheritance, this great... Why do we stumble over these great gifts? I don't know. Is it because of lack of faith? I really can't tell you that. Each of us individually have to go to our own closet, get on our knees and pray. Pray earnestly that God would show us. He says, don't pollute my church. What happened to those other functions or the other groups in the restoration that have fallen away? What happened to them? Man polluted the precious word of God. man polluted. And what did he say? There's a generation yet to come. Don't pollute my church. Could that be talking to you and I today? Really could, couldn't it? When we think about what Jack said at the first of this service, and when we change things, sometimes we call it by the Spirit of the Holy Ghost that leads us. That's the only guidance that I have as an elder in Christ Church to conduct a service. It's the only one you have, right? Is to conduct the service by the leading of the Spirit. But Jack's right. Sometimes we're just human and we forget. But if we could always be in that attitude of hearing and recognizing the voice of our first love, I really believe in my heart, we of the Church of Christ in the year 2010, in my heart, we are the Church of Ephesus. I know I'm late, but I want to give you the crux of this whole purpose of this service. Y'all can tell me I'm wrong. You can tell me I'm crazy. I don't mind. It won't hurt my feelings. Well, I hurt my feelings, but I won't let the air out of all four of your tires, just a couple. I fear that we of the Church of Christ are losing the restoration of the gospel. I fear we are polluting and allowing pollutants to come into the church. And I've shared this with Jennifer, so it's not something I've just started thinking about. I've shared it with other members of the ministry. It's not something new and different that I've come up with. But folks, I really earnestly believe that these gifts that we've talked about here, these gifts that are promised us in here, we, because of our, whatever the reason, I don't even know the reason, I fear that we're turning our backs and we're ashamed, just like they were spoken of here. I fear that we are getting sometimes too big for our own drawers and trying to look too churchy. And I think we better go back to the simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ that was restored to this earth. We better forget about somebody else. And we better think about us and what we have to offer. Aaron sat upon that wall. Why? Because you made him special as a young child? No, those were his values. The values that we must possess as God's chosen people must be that same depth as we've read about in here. Or as we've read about in here, we will be moved aside and another people will be brought forth to do God's work. And that's not show. That's not hope. That's the gift of the Word that is before us. And it's not me judging you. It's me serving you. It's me loving my God with all my heart, might, mind, and strength. To the church of Ephesus, you have lost your first love. And he says you can get it back. And I believe we can. But I think it takes a commitment. It takes a simplistic, adherent, following group of people that will do God's work as he declares it. Not as we think will work. Not as we think might be germane or appropriate in this world. Because this world is not who we have to please. Folks, don't think I'm trying to say that Collins is the only one. You're the major problem, but you're not. No, I'm teasing. we as a people have been given the greater light. What is the greater light? The gospel of Jesus Christ. And where did that greater light come from? But what does it say in here? It says, these two shall stand as one. And it says, if you go back to Revelation, the 20th chapter, the 12th verse, it says that the books were opened and that they were judged by the commandments and their works. If I'm right, and if we have left our first love, what will we stand upon? Our works. What will we be judged of? Our works. And you can have the best looking tie. You can be the nicest looking guy. You can be the greatest wife. It ain't going to make a difference. The commandments of God is what we must accept. And I'm not set up as a judge, just like it said in here. I'm set up as a servant. And as such, unless I share my testimony, my apprehensions and my reservations and my concerns, your sin will be upon my robe. And I fear we are losing the uniqueness of the restoration. How do we get around that? How do we get by that? Just like Lehi, we have faith in our God and we know the source from whence our leadings come. Just like Nephi, following, asking. You know, Lehi had a dream, remember? Nephi, he says, you know, I want to know what that dream was. So he went to his dad. He went to God. And God told him what that dream was. The church at Ephesus left this first love. We can't be guilty of that, brothers and sisters. We cannot be guilty of that. I hope that there is a semblance of cohesiveness in my concern. I hope you can see where I'm coming from. I'm not just trying to start a new fad. But I have seen those